Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper?
Here.
So, Brian, at our last work session, you said that you wanted to go home and look at the red lines of your budget amendments. And so maybe we could go through them with you and you could tell us what you want to do.
Well, as you know, where I mentioned at our last work study that I used. It is. Okay. So, as I mentioned in our last work study, I did want to take this back and look at all the comments that you had put forth. I also noted that I was going to be out of town for about 5 days, so I'm still looking at this, at your red line stuff. I did have a couple comments, though, on, let's see. I believe it was section 11. And this is part of that discussion we had about when this was brought forward before. Councilmember Edelman and Deedy went through each amendment, and there was a couple amendments that were passed.
That were struck.
That were stricken. Now, it's my understanding on those that since this budget was vetoed, that kind of makes those strikes mute.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Once they're struck, they're struck. So 14 and 16 don't exist anymore. So what did you want to say about Section 11?
Well, Section 11 would have, excuse me. Section 11 would fall in with 14 and 16 for what I was just talking about.
Well, originally it was struck, and then when we did a roll call vote, Erica Morgan changed her vote, so it ended up being 2-3.
Oh, my bad, I did write that.
Councilmember Deedy, so Erica and Pat, you both were here at the last work study, as was Brian. You both had the chance to go through this. Do you have any questions? And it seems like Brian Weber, you didn't have anything else. That was all you had for this whole budget?
As I stated at the last meeting, that I was going to take this and wanted to look through all the red line changes that were submitted. Which I haven't had the time to do.
Pages. I have pages. I don't know, am I close enough, guys? So I just went page by page and I numbered the comments by kind of the bullets, I think, for this beginning part anyway. So the first thing it says that this violates the single subject rule and that the title does not reflect what the ordinance says. And my comment here is the subject here is the expense of 2017 money. And this is indeed a single subject. And according to Tony Nelson, It's also a single subject, and it's because it's just about 2017 money. It's an ordinance, so it supersedes other ordinances that happened before it, and it's probably true that it does lack a servability clause. I don't think the other budget had a servability clause in it. I think ordinances have the ability to be amended by a supplemental budget any pretty much any old time, and a supplemental budget ordinance, and I think that serves probably the function of the servability clause. But so, and as you know, and that's a standard servability clause. I'd be okay to add that. If any one thing in this ordinance proves to be unconstitutional somewhere, it does damage the rest of the ordinance, right? Isn't that the servability clause, basically? Yeah. You're right. So, and I think that we're holding, since I think this number three bullet that's about the preliminary budget and the substitute budget and the hearing, the public hearings, I think that's moot now. So we'll have to update with all those times that we met. And I don't know, Brian, do you remember when we've been talking about your budget?
I have all the meetings that we've
held. Yeah, you have the meetings that we've held, and then there were the budget committee meetings. Do you remember when?
Did have one on January 30th. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one that May attempted. One more before that.
I think we did two. And we discussed it. I remember twice discussing it at the library. I don't know, just when.
guess without going back and digging through the city email, I think we had that one on the 17th.
I'm sure we did. 2/17.
We didn't have on the 16th due to Martin Luther King.
Yeah. At least for sure. So, but I think there was another time too. But anyway, I'll look.
So at least the 17th.
Right.
17th and 30th. Okay. At least two of them.
Okay.
Like I said, I have to go back to my email.
I have a request too. This is Janie. Erica, can you provide your notes to the clerk so that we can all have access to them so that we can keep our stuff updated also? Yeah. It just would help us as we're going back through these things after the meeting's over.
If you can figure my notes out, they're not always so easy to figure out. But anyway, so then on page 2, where it's right above, I think it's about section 2, but it's at the top there, it says, It's the business about the union contracts and the bargaining being included in the budget. So. Page 2, at the very top of the page.
Well, if you have to look at section 2, some page 1 at the bottom.
Right. It needs to be in the ordinance by state laws, as I recall. And it's the Weber language was slightly more particular or plain. Well,
but those are words that you guys were adding. The thing is that, just a second, let me finish, please. Any collective bargaining that goes on has to come back to the city council for approval of a contract. So we already have that. Why do we need to put it into this budget document?
I think it's required by state law for it to be in the budget document, and it was in the mayor's budget document. Not exactly those words.
MRSC.
In some cases, it doesn't matter, but when employees' jobs are being contracted out, it might matter. So.
Wait, we don't contract out union jobs. This is a collective bargaining for our employees.
I understand exactly what it is. I understand exactly what it is. So under Section 3,
yeah, I was just trying to clarify. You're talking funny.
So under Section 3, number 2 on this page is the salary schedule. Step sheet. as... Right.
And the second bullet on the page down is Exhibit A.
I'm not following.
Well, the mayor says Exhibit A is not in balance, and the budget must balance. As far as I know, it's an exact photostat of what was in the mayor's budget. So I guess I would need some kind of explanation from the mayor why this isn't, how this is that it's not in balance. No, it's the salary scale and step sheet. And I remember before when we talked about it, Council Member Deedy.
This is Exhibit A, and it's out of balance. And it is not a copy from our.
Okay. Well, I remember her talking about, and that's what I thought this was.
We didn't put Exhibit A in because it was out of balance.
Okay, well, we'll get to that eventually because that's not my A. I think that we have, between the two budgets, two Exhibits A, which wasn't a very good practice to begin with, and I allowed that to throw me into a different place than it's thrown you. There is, and it's called Exhibit A as well. Though where it comes up, I think that the mayor renamed it Exhibit D.
This is Janie again. On page 75 of the mayor's budget, there is something that's called the 2017 proposed salary schedule with the step increases. And it identifies the salary ranges and the functions that, like the city clerk and city attorney and all of that, down to the police officers. So what?
But that was never included in Brian's budget.
No. Nor is
it. Was never attached.
Nor is it considered as.
And I don't know what you need it for anyway. I don't know what the issue is here.
And I don't. Yeah, I don't know where that all. Where your stuff.
So. And then I looked up this resolution 1388 on the third bullet down that says that.
Why do you have more than two bullets?
The bullets. The bullets are the bullets on the page as I read down the page. And it's just.
There's only two under section three.
Well, next to. Somehow in my copy, wherever you wrote a line, there's a bullet. I don't know where.
Can you back up? Because you're talking about under section 3, exhibit A, which does not exist in the mayor's budget. It only exists in Brian Weber's amendment to the budget.
So
what is your resolution now?
So my resolution is that salary schedule, are we going to agree? Can we agree that if there would be a salary schedule step increase sheet added to the budget, if we could agree that it would be the same exact piece of paper, I mean the same exact information. And the only reason I ask that is because Council Member Deedy at our last meeting held it up and said, what is this and how do I know you didn't change anything?
These are amendments to my budget, so I don't know why we need to do anything with it.
Okay.
Point. Not only is it in the mayor's budget, it's showing the step increases if and when any of our employees get a raise. Yours does not have that. I know, but it's, if you want salaries, it's already in the budget. You don't need to have it in your amendment.
All right, can we move on? Well, there should.
And use page 75.
No, because I'll come upon that exhibit somewhere else here.
We need.
Hang on.
Wait a minute. For every bullet point that is in this document here, we should be able, in a work study, to have a resolution so that when we come back again, we can have a final document.
I'm acceding that we don't need to worry about putting in the salary scale and step sheet if it's already in the document.
So you're agreeing that your exhibit A,
no,
as contained in here, should go away?
No, I'm not.
It should go away as exhibit A.
It should go away as exhibit A. I'll agree with that. So three, it says it violates the financial management policy resolution of 13866. I went and looked that up. That's the long-term financial goals. So I'm asking a question here. So in the mayor's view, by the general fund being appropriated down to department level, how does that interfere with the general financial goals?
Because we adopt it at the fund level, not the department level. There isn't any way to reconcile department level with fund level.
It says, it states in there, and it's been a past 2008 that we adopt at the fund level. It states in the policy that we adopt at the fund level. Well, I've got to read through the whole policy. Yeah.
She'll find it.
It's right under on page 69, the very first page, operating budget policies. General fund policies ensure service levels are reasonable and attainable, and that the budget document detailing revenues and expenditures are accurately reflecting council and community goals. City of Black Diamond budgets are adopted at a fund level. The city budgets annually on the calendar year being adopted.
Okay. Now I realize that the department level budget is a little bit different than a fund level budget. But I'm a little bit confused because somehow the enterprise funds are operating as a separate unit, as I understand it, and that money doesn't transfer from one enterprise fund to another, and that money that is going into one enterprise fund goes just into that enterprise fund and can't somehow jump around. So if that can happen for an enterprise fund, I'm confused as to why that can't happen in the same kind of a way for a department level,
I handed out the worksheet. We don't.
I know you don't.
move money around between departments, and the list that was provided on that Section 8, I'm assuming was calling the gym a department, and there's no department of gym in the city of Black Diamond. And, you know, it's, frankly, I'm not sure exactly what was assumed by this department.
What I can say is that when I read the financial policies from the that are possible from the state, that it is possible for the budget to be fund level, department level, which is has the general fund laid out like it were separate funds, or by line level. I can tell you that the people that I talked to at the state said that a line-level budget would be very difficult for the financial department to manage. If we're already not moving money from one department to another without at least, I mean, I don't say that the money couldn't move, but without at least the council knowing about it, I'm confused. I'm confused at how this is such a big jump.
Well, just to start with, the list we provided, these aren't departments.
So the problem is that there are not departments? Is that the problem?
No, there's, I mean, we can roll something up to some various departments. I emailed MRSC after our meeting last to asked specifically how many of their budgets were adopted at a department level. Mm-hmm. And they emailed me back with the link with all their ordinances, all the budgets from large, small, even 2 years. And I went through all those. No other budget, including two-year budgets, were adopted at that level. I also they contacted Toni Nelson, which is the one I think that you've been talking
about. Yeah, I have been talking
to her. And she said that she didn't know of anyone that adopting at that level. All the budgets that I reviewed at MRSC were adopted at the fund level. You report at a lower level, including a line item level, if that's what, so that you can always see in your quarterly reports, because you can't always predict where one department will have an unexpected expenditure and another one will have a lesser expenditure, and you're still operating your city, you're being within your total budget, and that's why the financial reporting is so important to get that information out. There's, you know, I mean, the lines that are listed on here, central service, paper, postage, and printing is not a department. And so since we're a small city and a big city, you might have a department purchasing and printing and whatever, but in a city we have very few people and they do all kinds of functions, so it, even to define what is a department in general, but I can find police and fire, but it's very difficult then to define within some of the lines we have in our budget.
I can kind of get and understand that. It's difficult. I can also see the advantages of that when I'm looking at some of the other things and how things get expensed and how fees get built and that sort of thing. So I don't know. I still think it would be worthwhile. I really do think it would be worthwhile.
Other level that certainly we don't have time to do that before March 31st. That's totally out of scope for us to even think about doing something like that. I mean, if you really wanted to propose something like that, that would be something for the 2018 budget. But I just don't see how that'd be realistic, because how are we going to do our six-year budgeting when we have two or three different types of accounting?
Tony, Tony did also say that there is a bars, there is a bars that would be the same type of accounting that you're doing. That would do the department.
Did she tell you how much it would cost?
She didn't tell. She did, and I didn't, and I don't remember. She told me that she thought that the program would take about a week to get installed. Well, and you know, the thing of it is, the week that it takes it to get installed will be more than what it costs to purchase it. But I'm sure.
So you want to spend?
I mean,
some
I would remember.
Balance?
I would remember. I would remember. You know, a huge amount. So 10 to 15,000. It probably wasn't even that much. I think I would have even remembered that. So it would have been under that. So it would have been under that, or I wouldn't have even thought about it. But anyway. Anyway.
Getting information out to you, being able to go over mm-hmm. with you will help. Help you watch, is that really going over budget? Is that really a worthwhile function? So that you can really see where the budget is still staying the same and where the expenditures are in each area.
So, and then this next question I had, actually, section 4, Exhibit B. Do you remember Exhibit B, Brian?
Section B is the one that was the salary schedule. It was never included.
No. Wasn't it? Exhibit B.
Exhibit
B from Weber's. From Weber's. Stuff. That was fun level. And there had some extra stuff in there. It wasn't quite right. Well, and I was going to ask him if he remembers what it
is. There was no way to understand what it was even for.
Well, there is a 200 level fund.
Yeah, it's for,
in there.
It's for debt and long-term debt in the general government, and we have no long-term debt in the general government.
Okay.
Nor any need for any budget for that we don't have. These fund types are described at a national level and under governmental accounting standards boards, and then are also adopted at a state level in the VARS manual, and we adhere to them very closely. Also, it speaks in there about transfers. Shall not be transferred. And RCW 35A 33.120 is very clear about, and you just mentioned, Councilman mm-hmm. Morgan, that we can't transfer money between funds and in between areas. And we don't transfer between
okay.
funds
and this,
areas. And any financial.
This here would be the debt, and
we have
no debt, right?
So there's really no need. What does that mean? I mean, and if that's already in a report and you see that report every single month and it hasn't been moved, then why do we need? Usually a budget is adopted, you know, to set plans and funding levels to start your year. And then you go into the operation of the year and here is your budget, here's how it's going, and that you follow it in that way, and that we have communication on what, you know.
This is Janie. Yeah, this is Janie again. And I think this is a solution that's looking for a problem that doesn't exist. May is already following the state law. We, as the city council, are provided the reports. You guys have an opportunity to review those reports and talk to May, be it in person, which I encourage, or via email, so that you understand what this is. But I see no value in this exhibit whatsoever. We're already complying with the provisions of the revised Code of Washington.
All the lines are set by the partners, and the partners certainly wouldn't let us transfer money or spend money that they hadn't approved. They prepay that money, and they have many, many meetings set what they're going to approve and prepay for. You know, and frankly, we have a lot to do just to get a budget ordinance in place to continue the year. So.
Weber, May ask you what was the purpose of adding this. Help us understand the whole purpose of adding this exhibit when May has already described that it's unnecessary to do so.
Well, I think the thinking behind that is to have it in place and ensure that you know, everything is followed. I think part of catch-all for the year, whether things may or may not have been overspent.
But Brian, that has nothing to do with the fund balances, because each fund is separate. So when she does a budget amendment, that's usually on our general account, but some of them are in the funds that we either add funds so that the appropriations equal the income because we got a grant that we didn't know about. But they're not from fund to fund. So when she does her budget amendment, there may be amendment in the sewer or the stormwater, and there may be amendment in the general fund, but they're not being transferred from fund to fund. Those funds cannot be transferred according to state law, cannot be transferred.
That you would all have to approve when you adopt the budget. We also disclose in our annual report every year all the budgets and all the expenditures, and they ask us clearly, did that go over budget or not? And we have to report on that every year in our annual report.
Okay, well, I will take my notes and consider if that needs to be pulled.
So, Councilmember Beatty, so we have a public hearing tonight. So, I think it would be good to work on this now to figure out if you three are going to pull it or not. I mean, again, the Mayor Benson and May Miller stated that they're already following. So you haven't even explained to me why you feel that they're not following it. I mean, that's what you're insinuating. So help me understand why you feel it needs to get in there.
Well, I just mentioned that part of that reasoning is And as far as the public hearing, there's not going to be a complete document that's going to be available tonight for a public hearing. I mean, we're halfway through our 6 months. There's still 6 weeks to hash and iron everything out. It's not going to, you know, I'm not going to get, like, pushed and railroaded into making a quick decision tonight.
I'm not, Councilmember Dean, I'm not asking you to at the meeting tonight go rushing into a decision. I'm asking you to help the citizens that are listening and that are here to know what they're going to be talking about at the public hearing. So if you're going to start pulling stuff or even adding stuff, you got to let your citizens know what you're doing. And the public hearing, they're going to come up here and they're not even going to know. Is Brian Weber going to pull that or is he going to keep that? Because whatever you do and say, the other two follow. So you got to make it clear what you're working on, what you're going to have. And you are not honest with the citizens at this point. Because sitting out here, if I was sitting out here, I wouldn't know what's going to happen. If I was sitting out there, I'd say, there's no budget going to be passed tonight. There's no consensus going to even be talked about tonight. So I haven't, so far for 45 minutes, I haven't even gotten anything out of you three.
Yes. Okay. I checked to find out, you know, what is the timeline. Right now we had a budget ordinance in place. We need to pass a budget amendment. And we need to prepare that amendment with all the proper, we just talked about dates, the front end, add things, take things out, whatever. We have to pass that very early in March because it has to still be advertised or posted by Brenda, which takes a week after that, and you have to have it 5 days before the end of the month. So early in March, or we won't be able to meet the time frame to have a budget in place by April 1st.
So last meeting we had last week, I was under the impression that we were going to get emailed a copy of that schedule. We're going to have the dates and kind of similar to what's at the back end of the budget.
Right. I did talk to our attorney and went reviewed, you know, what the date specification is. We already have a budget in place. We have to have an amendment, and it after, you know, it'll have to have 5 days before it takes effect. It has to be a week before that. It has to be adopted, so Brenda has the week to get it posted. So, you know, I think at a minimum that the second meeting in March, possibly, or even earlier than that. And so we're trying to put together what this budget amendment, because even the heading has to be different on the amendment, what sections are going to be included, what sections aren't, you know, how to resolve all the differences so that we can get one budget amendment prepared. We don't have the 25-day public hearing rule because that was a year-end rule, and he and I reviewed that and clarified that. The public hearing is if you're going to be reducing fund balance or adding significant expenditures or reducing any piece of a budget, then you have to have a public hearing, but there's no 25-day rule on that one. It just needs to be. And it also has to have a majority vote to pass anything that would reduce or revoke or decrease expenditures or fund balance. And that's per RCW.
Supermajority.
I vote. Yeah. 35A, 33120. And I could read it if you want to, but it's that you have to have the majority and plus one if you're going to decrease, revoke, recall any portion, and you need to have a public hearing where you state why all of a sudden you're going to reduce fund balance or something, in which we are going to be having tonight, the public hearing. But we still have the timeline with the posting and our newspaper only coming out weekly and the mandated dates we have to get that. It has to be done early in March. So I'm going to be gone
is immaterial, but something that I'll need to be able, have some time to be able to put this together. So to me, it's helpful to know, okay, these will be included, these won't be included, if I can even begin right now to get it ready.
So now I'm getting down to Weber's Exhibit A that we had that little flurry about.
What section are you on?
So Weber's Exhibit A, so that one that you had out
before, okay.
Janie. With,
okay. Yep.
It isn't, as far as I know. So
okay.
Now I'm ready.
Okay.
I don't have a whole lot to say, but since you have it, that's good. So as far as I can see, this is the mayor's budget with the general fund separated into departments and displaying the full-time equivalents and the fund ending balance. So what my question is explain, is it that you want to have the revenue and the expense balancing each other on the table like the funds do? Is that what the objection is, or what is the objection to this Exhibit A that says it's not in balance?
This page didn't add up properly. At the handout at the meeting, but the overall ordinance also had some other items that caused it not to be in balance. So this one page, the full-time equivalents, if you add them up, don't equal. If you add the revenue, less expenditures to equal fund balance, it doesn't equal. These lines are really kind of lines that we use to report to try to tell you at a lower level what's going on, but they're not department level. And if you go to...
Right. Well, and one of the things that I noticed, and I think it's just a formatting thing, is one of the enterprise fund balance funds is on the last sheet of that first page, and I hope that wasn't what was shaking you up.
No, it's line one, doesn't foot
with the, that across. Bottom, no, the bottom line. The bottom line on that page really belongs on the next page with the other funds.
No, that didn't have anything to do with that. And also, if you go over to... two of the other funds on the second page where fund 320, that money could not be added to fund balance. That throws that budget out of balance. Also in the 410 fund, it doesn't, the capital project side doesn't equal. It's adding revenue we couldn't receive to fund balance. I handed those out at all the different meetings we went to.
Do you have any other objections? I told you this was the part that I was a little hazy on. Did we ever decide on the FTEs, by the way? Did we ever decide on the FTEs, how many there are?
Yeah, I think we'll be able to balance that and work that out if we can go through all the different sections and all the dollar items and decide what is in or what is not in the budget. Okay. We can reconcile the number of FTEs. I was unclear how many new positions you were adding, and they didn't appear to be reflected in this total. So I'm willing to work
on that.
Oh, is that
what the...
Well,
oh,
there's
yeah,
numerous items.
Yeah. I see. I'm getting it.
I think we can go back and pull together a board budget amendment ordinance that'll meet everyone's needs if we know what is included and excluded from a budget by going through all the different sections. Yes, yes.
Vaguely. I don't want to take it off. Okay. So section 5 calls for a contingency fund. It looks to me like that's okay with everybody.
Yes, we can set that up as an account.
Okay, so on under section 6, that first bullet, I'm confusing myself because I got two sixes on this page and then the page in there for two different things. But I said here I at least would like to know about combining and separating full-time equivalents, because there's some interesting financial and also workplace atmosphere things that go on with that. When you take a job that was a full-time job and give it to two different people, like divide it up, have them each work half-time, or when you have part-time jobs and you make them full-time.
We haven't had to do that.
I understand that, but that's what this is. It says all increases in FTE levels shall be subject to approval of the city council, and the mayor says if these are allowed budgeted positions, then yes. If it would have to be approved through the budget process, we may need to seek clarification from Councilmember Weber, for example. If we combine two half-time positions into one full-time position, would he want this to come back to the council for approval? His wording is not clear.
We discussed that last time before before you made it from your other meeting.
Oh.
And the clarification that was asked for is if, for instance, if you had two part-time FTEs, if it would have to come back to council to make a, you know, like a one, a whole or whatever. And I don't believe we said that it had to come back, but I wrote down that it, you know, that it could be between departments. You know, if you had, you know, say like the court, if you had a, you know, half and a half and you wanted to get a whole person, then, you know, that would make sense. That was kind of the intent.
I just think that it'd be good to know, and I think it does have some budgetary implications, possibly, because maybe not if the Medicare rules, if the medical insurance rules go away, but when they were here, there was a level at which you didn't have to pay for that medical option, which when you combine two people who are not getting it into one person who does, suddenly that adds to that amount of money that goes out in the benefits.
Right. All the departments and all of us are always aware of our budget before we make
any sort of decisions like that.
Because we still have budgets.
This is Janie again. And I think really the only thing that I can think of, the mayor hires a part-time employee in the summertime to mow the rights-of-way, the parks, and all of that. That person does not get a medical benefit. But the rest of the staff already has their medical benefit. So.
Okay.
Mayor, can you identify which document they're talking about so I can get that on the minutes?
What?
Can you identify which document they're referring to? I can't seem to find it.
Yeah.
It's called 2017 Proposed Budget Ordinance Comparison.
I think that the dollar differences, when we get to the last page, we can, and some of the other sections, we can work out. And then we'll.
Section 7, I wrote quite a bit of stuff. Go on. So on that first bullet, they say there's nothing in Section 7 that interferes with the mayor's adjustments when she has to deal with a personnel availability issue for any kind of reason. The council just requires to be officially and through formal action to be informed and to create a record of what went on. The city and the mayor will also be protected then from charges of being arbitrary or capricious if the five-member council in this sees and it's in the whereases that are in the record of whatever it is that we do about.
This is Janie again. What form are you going to require the mayor to provide notice to the city council? Are you going to ask for any time the mayor needs to do something that's under her purview of 35A12-100 that she's got to come back to the whole council and get approval?
I just think it would behoove her to have a resolution go past the council that had some whereases that said why she was doing what she was doing so that she can be protected from being arbitrary and capricious. And I'm thinking of things that have gone on past further back than any of these council people or this mayor would remember, though maybe Mr. Williamson might remember such things.
Okay, this is Janie again. So you are now, because of some actions on previous mayors and or councils that were taken years and years ago, you are now going to hamstring this current mayor who's doing a fabulous job because of some actions in the distant past. That makes no sense.
I'm looking at the long term of the city.
So, Councilmember Deedy, help me understand, Erica. What you want is if the mayor takes disciplinary actions on a staff member? Is that correct?
That isn't a disciplinary action. I'm not even considering that. That wouldn't be any of my business at all.
So what are you
but
asking?
But it then? Says here, it's talking about like the public works director on temporary leave and filling that position. Other things could happen. She doesn't have anybody probably on her staff right now that I know of, but she could have somebody who got pregnant and had a baby who had to have some leave. You know, it could happen.
So, Councilmember Deedy, so you want her to come before council with a whereas resolution to say, I had a staff member, whereas, who had a baby, whereas, on December 17th. I don't understand. What is the purpose of this?
Or something more general that would say what the expected
time
out was.
It's none of our business as a council.
I understand, but... Yep, that's right.
Okay. I hope you heard that. She understands that it's the mayor's job, but she's going to go ahead and do it anyway.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Weber, did you have any thoughts in this area on this and having this restriction in a budget ordinance that we're trying to get passed quickly, so we'll have a budget April 1st.
Well, my understanding of this is that this all boils down to budgets and contracts. You know, this is about, for example, public works director gets in an accident, you have to contract to get somebody to come in. Okay, so that is something that I feel would come to council. You know, it's the mayor's job to do her thing to try to get a fill-in to cover for a long or short-term coverage in the position. My understanding, it just has to do with, as far as I'm concerned, it has to do with contracts and FTEs.
Okay, so if could communication at a council meeting to say we have Seth out, we need to fill it with a contract temporarily while he's out, and a communication, how can we expect or know what all the various things might happen? This second part part of this talks about stopping all of our contracts in the whole city and doesn't have anything really to do. We're trying to adopt a 2017 budget here to get total budget dollars that we can carry on the service well, of the city. Of the budget, yes.
You can't tell consultants that we're going to cancel all our contracts because we will never attract another consultant. I mean, we can't attract consultants now. How do you expect us to attract consultants if we just cancel arbitrarily all our contracts? That doesn't make any sense. This whole paragraph doesn't make any sense at all how it relates to a budget. It just needs to be removed, and then at some future date when we're, you know, you can discuss what it is that this is supposed to mean.
When I think last week I wrote down, suggested a piece of, suggested a separate piece of legislation. Was that kind of the gist of what you guys were getting at last week?
If we could delete this right now so we can move forward to try to get a budget ordinance in place. And then work on the contract issue separately, because that's really underneath a budget ordinance. You're usually never included in a budget ordinance. I've never heard of it.
So this moves right along then to, we're now doing these extensions that we're following on the contracts that we're going ahead on without council authority, and that's clearly outside of the mayor's spending authority. And we need to do something to rein that in for 2017, because
that's not part of a budget document. It needs to be other legislation. Even Weber understood that. We need to move on to the next section. This section is not part of a budget document. You need to move on to Section 8. Weber understands that we need to do the legislation separately.
It's 2017 money. Well, you know, I understand, and I kind of get this, that when the developer puts his money in up front to pay for the permits that he would be paying for, I know that that's a financial arrangement that the city's made to make it so that there isn't this pulsing of money and that there's a more gradual thing, and so that the city can kind of better understand where they're at. I get that. And I think it's probably better for the developer to have a more smooth amount of money going out for these permits. And I get that the developer considers that the money that goes into his MDART spending is his money. On the other hand, I also know that, you know, if I'm building one or two houses here in town and I go and buy those permits, I know that I pay for them as I'm doing them, and I know that most of that work, thanks to the new fee schedules that we had, and I understand what we're supposed to be working on those some more, that's actually pass-through money too. That fellow who's doing those smaller projects, he understands that when he buys a permit from the city, that it is now the city's money. He may put money in ahead in a sort of a little escrow that gets drawn down. It's a lot the same as what's going on with the developer. I mean, because I see once in a while that we give them some money back, right?
You know, you got this all backwards. There is no money in an account from the developer. We spend the money he reimburses us. We do not have any bucket of money from the developer. Pardon me? Well, a WUFSA water fund, but that is two developers, it's not even one specific developer. There's two developers that keep track of each other. But the MDRT and the reimbursement for the funding agreement, we get after the fact. There is no money in a bucket for you to draw on and decide that it's okay for us to spend it some other way. That never will happen. They will never put a money in a bucket for you to spend the way you want to. They reimburse us. So if you decide you don't want to fund somebody or something, then we don't get the money. You can't just say we want to fund this contract or this person and expect them to reimburse us, because they will not. They've already gotten up and told us that they will not do that. We will just get less money if you don't want to fund something in the city.
The part two of this reads, the mayor shall immediately notify all consultants that funding may no longer be available for contracts. I mean, we have a judge, we have public defenders, we have all kinds of contracts. This would literally shut down our city. I think in light of trying to move ahead and get the budget mm-hmm. ordinance, that the contracting issues, as Mr. Weber pointed out, are a separate item. If we could remove this, that would be helpful.
This is definitely not part of a budget document.
The budget only sets up a budget to be spent. Any contracts have separate rules outside of the budget and separate ordinances and resolutions and rules. The budget just sets dollars and projects and future functions to keep our city operating.
Okay, this is Janie. This is Janie again. Now, I will admit, I was out of town last week, so I missed the budget meeting. These are the same things that we've been going over for months. And let me tell you, I was on vacation too, Brian. I checked my email every day. I had work with me. I did my job to be a city council member so I could come to the meeting tonight and be prepared to discuss this. We have a deadline in March, or this city shuts down, and it's not going to be that they just turn off the lights and walk out on April 1st. There's activities that need to go on prior to a shutdown. You guys cannot wait until the last meeting in March or the 31st of March, because our last meeting, we have two meetings. We have our first meeting is March 2nd. Our second meeting is March 16th. And then after that, we'll probably have meetings every day until this group can reach some consensus and pass a budget. You know, this is a big deal here in this town. I do not understand why you guys are complicating the budget, adding things that are not a part of the actual budget process to just further delay everything. And you don't answer our questions when Tammy and I ask questions. It just boggles my mind.
Whoever said he's going to keep an eye on item number 7. We should move on to item number 8. Item number 8, we totally agree with. We do not. This is a standard that already exists. And it takes a supermajority vote needed to reduce fund balance. So we can move on from 8, because this one's okay.
Okay, now just let me clarify. Is it a supermajority that is needed because it's a supermajority that's needed to overcome the mayor's veto?
No, it has nothing to do with the veto.
Okay, I just clarified in my head.
It's RCW 35A 33.120. Last paragraph.
Section 9 is about the unanticipated revenue fund. So
is part of what we do when our budget amendment at the end of the year. So if we get a grant during the year or we get some funding from somebody else during the year, then at the end of the year, we do a budget amendment. That was it. That's all. And that's already standard practice, too.
But there is no fund called unanticipated revenue. It's a grant or a permit or a line, and that money stays in that fund. Either it gets reappropriated or it just carries over till the following year. It doesn't go anywhere.
So
it can't
I guess
get
what
moved.
I'm interested in knowing how, if there's a way of tracking that.
Yes. And I can send you the excerpts out of the BARS manual on how it's calculated. And it shows on all the financial reports if we're receiving more revenue than we anticipated or less revenue than we anticipated.
Right, yeah. With money, it's always got to go both.
That's a financial reporting issue, not a budget issue.
Okay.
So this is not needed in there. It's already being done. It's confusing because it alludes to a fund.
I think it is a little. I think it is a little confusing, and I think it's a little confusing to me because, sort of, what I see is that it looks to me like we've been saving out of our surplus at the end of the year.
The BARS manual states that all the money you received less all the money you save is your ending fund balance.
Right. Exactly.
And that's how it's calculated. I guess
I know that you won't be saving. I mean, it's not a municipality, but I guess I know that you won't be saving if you save only out of your residual because you'll always use it up.
That's not
which
true.
Which may not be true.
Yeah, we try to increase fund balance every year so that we don't pull it down. And this ordinance, in fact, would pull it way down.
Yeah. So the truth is that unanticipated revenue couldn't go in your rainy day fund because you can only have a certain amount in there.
Right. That's right.
That's calculated
right.
amount, and it's right. maximally funded right,
right
now.
That's right.
And that's just in this
account.
In this account. Where you're saying that the unanticipated money would go
is in cash.
That is
cash
just amount that is taken out of there and put over here, and that you would not access unless you came back to the council and made a change.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Can we delete that section as long as we leave Section 8 in to say we can't use any of it?
I want to hear it from someone else, too.
Brian has agreed to take it out. in the policy. They're posted on the website. They have nothing to do with the budget other than reporting to you, and we do report those quarterly.
It's also something that is part of the budget document, the reporting
policy.
This is Janie. So if we already do this, it's posted to the website, if the mayor and staff agree to notify the city council by email, that takes our personal responsibility away, but that's okay. Would you be agreeable then to deleting this one if you get an email?
And it shows all the revenue at the top.
Or you know, you could just check the website like the rest of us do.
I can send out emails when they're posted. But it's a reporting issue, not a budget issue. Our policy states that we put in our budget document already. It's already included in our policy passed by
resolution. I know, and I've been looking
resolution.
For it for 2 or 3 years.
It's here. It's on page. I'll point out again where it is. Page 69, and it's been in all the copies.
I know
for
it's
the
been in there.
In all the copies we've sent out at every hearing.
Section 11, appears to be amending procurement rules adopted in Black Diamond Municipal Code 2.90 and Ordinance 14-1035. And it also appears to violate contractual obligations of the city to the master developer. I would recommend that we remove this section.
We understand that you would recommend that. It means that we've been having serial contracts and unauthorized contracting for 2016 and now starting into 2017. Tony Nelson and the state auditor that I talked to and Dave Glenn and others implore us to include this Section 11. It's only about 2017 money. If there's something that's too onerous about it down the line, we could figure something out. But
you don't have any control over MPD or MDRT and their contracts. Yeah.
can't speak for anybody else, but as far as I'm concerned, I can stay for now, and I'll keep reviewing this with some of the other items.
Section 12. We have already met all of these conditions to reduce money expended for the finance department violates Black Diamond Municipal Code 3.23.030. This section should also be removed.
This is another one else that I'll look at further.
I hate to tell you guys this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The 50K bond, I was actually handling this much money for the Grange, as we're handling in our budget here. That bond for me, when I was handling their money in whole and carrying around their cash, was $60 a year. I just think that we need to think about.
Our insurance policy has $1 million to cover people that are dishonest.
Well,
much more than that dollar amount that's in that ordinance. We have $1 million coverage. $1 million.
I get that, and I noticed in AWC that in their literature that they can help with adding insurance for certain things sometimes, and looking at their history, sometimes AWC doesn't wish to pay up. And I just would like to know, I would like to have at least something in front of me that says that they've helped us with adding some amount of that for the bond, or something that they would pay up. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a big enough deal.
This is really not a big deal. The companies that I have worked with had the same kind of indemnification in them that this policy does, and I have had two employees in the past that stole money, and the insurance company paid up, and there is no reason that AWC would not pay up if something happened and somebody took some money inappropriately. No, it has not. Yes. But I'm just saying there's no reason to assume that they wouldn't pay if that's what you're worried about. $1 million is a lot more than...
I might point out that this... restriction in funding payment of my budget of $106,000 would mean we'd need to lay off the entire finance department staff sometime in May, and council, I'm not sure who would be doing payroll and pay the bills and do the budget for next year and in reports.
So I guess it would be real prudent to comply and demonstrate to us that this is complied with, and I don't think that would take very much, especially from what you're saying to me. I want it in writing.
Is that one you want to include then? So you would limit the legal budget to $10,000 for the year. This is one that would require a majority because it's decreasing the budget from 110 to 10.
So of the appropriate.
appropriation for legal services, $10,000 shall not be expended or encumbered. $100,000 shall not be expended nor encumbered until the city council has approved a contract or contracts for legal services.
You have no authority to contract for legal services.
Well, the Attorney General, 1977, number 7, ruling says that the council does have.
Well, apparently we had 3 attorneys that don't believe that, 4 attorneys that don't believe that, and a judge made a ruling that I could hire an attorney to defend the lawsuit. And that's what you were looking for, a judge to make a ruling.
This also would, both Section 12 and 11 would require a majority plus one vote to pass if we include these.
And that wasn't, that was an attorney for the case, not carte blanche.
And Section 13 would require supermajority.
Council has no seat in the MDIRT. This section needs to be removed. If you continue in this vein, you've already been threatened by the attorney for the developer that you have no seat in the MDIRT. So if you want to take this under review further, go ahead. Section 18, this would be unnecessary. We've adopted the stormwater manual, and we've made our first presentation of the code revisions in front of the Planning Commission, and they will make a recommendation at their next meeting to present whether they present those code revisions to the City Council or not.
This also would require a supermajority vote and would, if implemented, would lay off staff.
This section is referring to the capital improvement plan, which has not been adopted. This section needs to be removed. Do you have a comment, Mr. Weber?
That is my review.
Councilmember D. So, Pat Pepper and Erica Morgan, you've had a chance to review it. What are your comments on it? Pat, you haven't even spoke tonight. What are your comments on these?
Councilor Pepper, I'm trying to see areas where we have agreement and areas of difficulty when we're going through.
So, Councilmember Morgan, do you not have a response to this? I mean, have you looked at it and had any questions, or are you just waiting for Mr. Weber to make the decision?
So,
so don't have a comp plan. I have a problem with lining up capital improvement projects before we have a comp plan. To me, it's putting the horse behind the cart.
The budget ordinance.
This happens to be, as far as I know, all these projects on here are 2017 projects, right?
We brought the capital plan back a couple times to be adopted. They were all listed in the capital plan. Mm-hmm. However, it was not approved. At that time, I told everyone it was a plan, that the individual projects that were listed in the 217 column always come back as a budget to be reviewed. We had separate review meetings, specifically went over every single individual 217 budget portion of that at our budget hearings, and had departments come and report on each one of those individual projects. This budget ordinance we're doing just adopts a budget for the 217 portion. It does not adopt the capital plan. Item numbers, you had asked that I say, mm-hmm. did they refer back to that plan? And so we, as a courtesy, listed those numbers, but they were not, don't need to be have this section to refer back to that, because they are separate budgets. A plan is a plan. A budget is a budget. They're two separate documents.
So, Councilmember Deedy, and just to remind the council, we met several times going over the CIP, and the only things that were discussed, or as far as contested or anything, was just adding fencing around the public works over here by the gym. And Councilmember Pepper wanted wayfinding signs for the gym. Those are only two things that this council added, and this council never asked to remove or anything else. So I don't even know why we even haven't passed it.
Councilmember Edelman again, the whole thing with this is that the CIP is a plan. The budget is a budget. They really don't have anything to do with one another.
So Section 20, the 2017 budget document on file with the clerk is hereby amended to include the changes in the attached Exhibit C. So let's move on to attached Exhibit C. I have no argument with 20.
You don't have a problem with
it? Well, 20, it says it's on file with the clerk. We do have a budget on file with the clerk. And these are amendments, so.
Well, I'm looking at their Exhibit C.
We'll go with that.
So I think what we,
this is all part of this red line.
Keep going. After that. Okay, so I think we should skip to page 11 and look at what all the changes that you've referred to in Exhibit C would do to the budget. So you would reduce the fund balance, if you include that contingency fund, by $549,000. And there are some things in here that aren't necessary. The EIS SEPA legal is for something that we don't even have an environmental impact statement on file. So there isn't any reason to have that $50,000 in there at all. It should be removed. So anyway, if you take that $50,000 out, so now you're reducing fund balance by $233,420. So you could take a vote. Oh, right. We want to move the comp plan, so that's another $50,000. capital project fund, which is where it should be, because that's where our other comp plan money is that we still have in that fund that got carried over from last year.
Would that be acceptable? I think there was a budget of $35,000. I don't believe that $35,000 is probably enough to do the transportation element.
I don't have any heartburn with moving that one. I would ask for an update, though, on how much is actually in there, please.
We don't have any trouble with the contingency. It's just designating that fund. We still need to leave a designation for the developer because that's their funds that they put in advance, which was always shown on the statements.
Your fund balance, if you reduce the fund balance, go up by $100,000 to $827,871. And then the reduction in the fund balance would be $183,420. We went over all the discussion last week, so if
you want to talk about item 1, 2, 3, or 4,
those would need to come from fund balance with a supermajority vote.
As far as the rest of the items, I'll still take them under consideration. We move on to item section 21. That's changed. It's actually exhibit D, not A. And do I need, so the salary schedule is the same. Do I need to send that to you as in a document that's on page 75?
Exhibit A, why don't you just refer to it as the page number in the budget document.
Yeah, that's fine.
So what's the page number again?
75.
Jamie? 75. Yep. So we need some time to rearrange the room for our regular meeting. Yes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.